I think the thing that makes this podcast so American is that we have beer from Italy, but it's Japanese.
Oh, you mean the Japanese beer from Italy?
And the chips are from, you know, Whole Foods.
Are those, did you, I think they're, don't eat those chips.
No?
No. I already had half of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't do. Think they're, have they expired? I'm
pretty sure. No.
I'm pretty chips sure don't they expire. Yeah, chips don't expire?
They just get a little stale.
They just get soggy.
Generally okay.
Is that real?
It's fine.
What about applesauce?
No, I think everything does expire. No, listen, I learned a lot about it. Making these aura sprays, I'm just showing these off for the folks on Patreon who can see us right now.
Got some aura sprays.
The aura spray formulation required that I took an organic formulation class. Okay. And so it was pretty intensive. And you do have to preserve even organic stuff. You have to preserve it if you're going to use it past a few days. But there are organic preservatives. And then I realized, shit, there's probably a lot of preservatives in food.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunate because preservatives are like toxic. Yeah, well, yeah. The whole point of preservatives is to kill bacteria or any life form that begins to grow.
I was talking to somebody about antibiotics and it literally means like biotics is like life.
Yeah.
So it's like anti-life.
Correct.
You know what I mean? It's not good for you necessarily, but it's very effective.
It is effective at killing foreign you know, bodies, but then you have to like replenish your shit after.
Yeah, it wipes your gut out.
I think the problem was like that doctors were prescribing antibiotics like so
for
much. Yeah, they're like, oh, you have a headache. And it's like, that was maybe not. And then it just wipes out your gut.
Are you growing a third arm?
And they didn't, you know, when I used to take them as a kid, like if I had like a cold or ear infection or something, they would never say like, take these probiotics after to like refurbish your gut.
That's what the Italian-Japanese beer is for.
I don't know about that.
It's a probiotic.
I don't think so.
That's why they made Juneshine, right?
Oh, the hard kombuchas.
There we go. Hard kombuchas.
Yeah. No, you're right. I wonder if the alcohol, though, like kind of kills all of it.
I'm sure, completely.
There's trace amounts of alcohol in kombucha, too, straight up.
Yeah, small amounts.
But not enough to get drunk.
No.
Juneshine can get you drunk.
I think you would need to drink like a tub.
Right.
Like a tub's worth of
and then you have other kombucha. Things to be concerned about.
Yeah. 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 Your poop concern chart gets...
It was my brother, actually, that told us about the poop concern chart. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, a poop concern. And I was like, what is a poop concern chart? And he said, you know, like after you go a certain amount of days without pooping, your concern goes up.
Or if you do too much.
Too much poop. Then
either way.
It's kind of like a sine wave then, isn't it?
Well, you know... It's just
you want to be in the middle.
Chart of concern, you know. So
everybody's threshold is different, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
How concerned, you know? If I like, sometimes when I travel, I have trouble like keeping it regular. For real, like when I travel, it just doesn't happen, and so I'm kind of like not concerned.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go in like several days, you probably get concerned.
Brought to you by Kraft Cheese. Mm-hmm.
If you haven't tuned out by now, welcome back to House of Herbie. This is your safe space for self-discovery, bad bitchery. I'm your host, Queen Herbie. This is our co-host, Jedi Nick. We have podcast Alice in the house. We've got two poodles. We've got some stale potato chips. We've got aura sprays. We've got Japanese beer made in Italy. Yep. Very confusing place to be.
So confused.
But the energy is just ripe for our topic today, which is motivation. Because I realized that y'all listen to these episodes kind of on a whim. You listen to them when you want to like get a vibe or you want to feel like a higher vibe or you want to feel excited about your creative endeavors. You want to feel like you are not alone in this journey that you've chosen. And I think the topic of motivation is so, so important for this. And I just want to say right off the bat that Jedi Nick is going to be our point person. It's my shit.
Kind of. I don't know if I really know anything about it necessarily. It's just about
people are energy. Like, I would pay Jedi Nick to step on my face. You know, like make me do all the things that I want to do.
Clearly, you've never seen my feet.
You know, I personally know that if I ever get the chance to thank like an academy or something for an award, I'm going to be like, it was Jedi Nick.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do any of this shit.
Contractually, you have to.
Contractually.
That was part of our wedding, Sarah. What is it called? Nuptials?
That's in our what is legally. It? Marriage license?
It's in our marriage license.
Okay. So y'all are in for a treat because I did the research on motivation just to figure out the science-y shit and the woo-woo shit. Science, and then Jedi Nick motivation. Is going to give us like the actual sauce that we need. So
it's energy.
Even just preparing for this episode motivated me, just looking at the information.
Yeah.
Just aligning yourself and being like, all right, bitch, I need motivation is a huge hump already if you admit that you need it. And what I really found in my research was that the only detriment to accessing natural motivation for what you want to do is depression and anxiety. It's literally mental. It's a mental health battle. Mm-hmm. And so I want to start the episode off saying that if you're struggling with mental wellness, I want you to know that it's very valid and very real. And so if you feel like none of this is approachable for you, it is very helpful to get help for these things. There's so much help available. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like my main thing. Because the only people I learned that could not access motivation were folks experiencing depression, anxiety. And I've had that before. So I got therapy and it was very helpful for getting myself out of that rut. But I hope that this episode will inspire you to do what needs to be done. And those of you that are ready to receive motivation, feel free to listen to this anytime that you need it. So the definition of motivation is the reason one has for acting or behaving in a particular way. Hmm. So I was like, oh, the reason. Damn. So it's the general desire or willingness of someone to do something.
Okay, right.
So it's a force, a stimulus or influence, drive or incentive. They say the fuel that drives the accomplishment of a goal. Mm-hmm. So the reason, it's like the reason, like why. It's your why.
Yeah, it's your why.
And shit, after you've been like beat down and, you know, had so many no's and had the door slammed in your face, like how do you continue to go after it? That's when you need this episode, basically.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let's jump in. The culture and the values that you grew up with also dictate your motivation. So again, we're looking for that the reason that you're excited to get up in the morning, that's what people say a lot, is often dependent on how you were raised or like the values that your family has or the values that your friend groups have or your social groups. It's like, this is going to be a fun experiment for you to say like, wait, are these motivations mine or is this like something that was seeded in me to be motivated to do? Because if you still are motivated and you are accomplishing things, but you're still unhappy, I mean, shit, babe, we got like a bunch of other episodes for you to listen to. But I remember growing up for me, it was like, it was valuable and I felt motivated to get good grades because I felt my parents were very like, this is important.
So that's probably out of fear.
Yes.
Right.
And so that's not sustainable, right?
Right. No, it's not going to be sustainable. Again, like we were saying last week, it's not that you can't, it's not that there's a lot of energy in these, you know, lower vibrations, but still ultimately that is from, if you were to really, you know, boil it down all the way to like the root of that shit, it's you were afraid
to not get good
that
grades.
If you didn't get good grades, you wouldn't get mac and cheese on a frequent basis.
Oh.
And that was not acceptable.
Unacceptable. So they did say that in my research is there's intrinsic and there's extrinsic. Motivations and goals. So you have like something that makes you feel good inside is an intrinsic. Mm. And then extrinsic is something that creates compensation or punishment. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, totally.
So literally, again, with all our woo-woo topics too, like anything outside of yourself, like you're not really going to find true happiness outside of you. It all has to come from within. So it is, again, I feel like on this podcast, we're uncovering that you do need that that inner relationship to be super strong and to know the difference. Mm-hmm. Between the inner and outer. So that, I thought that was funny. The extrinsic motivation was like, either you're going to get a bonus or a higher salary, or you're going to get fired because you were late. Like, right. So what motivates you to not be late is so that you don't get fired.
Right.
But what motivates you to like work harder or do more is to try to get a raise. So it's funny. Those are all things that are kind of out of your control too.
Yeah. Well, it's all like survival based. If you were to probably break all of those down at the very bottom would be, to make money to survive.
So it's fear.
It's egoic. I don't know if it's necessarily fear, but they're egoic things. And again, that's totally fucking fine. It's not like we don't have any kind of
extrinsic
egoic
drivers.
Motivations and shit. Absolutely. But I think it like as you go down this rabbit hole, they just become more obvious to you quicker. What's so fun, I guess, fucking motivation I guess it is motivation. What's so interesting to me about that is like, has always been so interesting to me. I don't know why, But I have always been able to, I have known my whole life I'll have a large well of it. Maybe because I knew that, you know, being, if I was going to be in music or whatever, this is going to be a fucking shit show and you're going to need like more than enough to go around type thing. But I've always had a very strong will when I have deemed it necessary.
Right.
A lot of other shit too. I just like, you know, if I don't deem it necessary or I don't value it or something, I'm like, whatever. But if I do, there's a strong willpower to, you know, to get the thing done. What was so interesting, you know, anybody starting any business and any, I don't know where you want to go to get into this, but like the energy of, oh, sorry. Someone just texted me and I started reading it. That's what happens when you look at your phone.
So you're motivated to read your text message is what you're saying. Isn't that funny though, how these, because this is a lot about habits too. And we'll get into that, but it's like
so much about habits.
If you develop a habit, like you're motivated to read your text messages because there might be a reward in there of some sort. You made it like,
well, my brain
today we got
has
like two sync placements
because I was reading. Yeah, totally.
Today we got two sync placements for Queen Herbie.
I think we got three in the last 2 days.
Yo, so like if I didn't read those texts from my manager, I wouldn't know that.
It was more the placement. Like it had, I was. At the top of the notes,
gotcha.
And it came on as it, and it was so like, I was like, oh shit,
somebody
like,
sent you a dick pic at the same time.
Yeah, there were just dicks all over my phone, and I'm like, we're not gonna look at, you know what I mean?
Trying to do a podcast,
I'm trying to be motivated, not dick motivated. I'm not egoically anyway. It's been such an interesting thing for me, and especially for music, because it's kind of the I love hearing people's stories about it because. That's everybody. When you start to understand, like, you know, what entertainment is in general and all these movies and songs and all stuff, it's just storytelling. And everybody has a story. Anybody that you've heard of or haven't heard of that's done anything or is something you haven't heard of or whatever, everybody has a story. And all of those stories include a ton of fucking shit you've had to fucking deal with or overcome. Regardless of your experience, other people are definitely going to have more than other people. But, you know, if those people who have way more privilege or whatever in their life, the things that come easy, it still doesn't mean they're happy.
Right.
There's other things that they're still going to have to deal with.
It's a different flavor.
It's a different flavor of it. But just two for two. But it's just such a fascinating when you look at it that way. There's always that turning point in the movie when you either stop or you continue. Do you know what I mean? You can always boil it down to a single fucking point. And I'm not even saying that you should push through if it's a negative situation. I'm saying right. You found out what you want to do, right? And you're like, you're fucking gung-ho and all this shit. In every situation, the story of Abe Lincoln's fucking life. I didn't even know about this. My mom had a printout on her fridge for a long time. He went through like fucking 4 nervous breakdowns, lost every single thing he ever ran for. You know, all of his wives died or whatever, you know, all these breakdowns. He was gay apparently. And then like all of a sudden it was just like, then when he was like 60 something elected to president, one of the most influential leaders we've ever had. Right. You know what I mean? So yeah. You just, the only thing is he just kept going.
Right.
Sometimes you have to keep the fucking blinders on and you have to continue. And what I mean by keeping the blinders on is it's a horse race analogy. This is also from this.
We love the blinders.
This also came out. Jimmy Iovine talks about this in the Defiant Ones, but we were on this shit even before then from, I think, Gary Vee and a few other people.
Yeah.
The concept is if you're in a horse race, you can't, the minute the horse doesn't completely focus on where they're going and they start looking around, that's when shit, they either like lose or someone passes them or they get distracted or they trip or they fall, they run into people.
Right.
And if you're going like 30 miles an hour on a horse and you fall over, like shit's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to run your own race. Run your own fucking race. Keep the fucking blinders on. Yeah. And something magical happens when you're able to do that for a period of time.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's like a math equation to me. So it's like if you just keep boiling things down and there's always that one moment where you're like, I'm fucking done or I'm not. And sometimes just stop. Just give up.
Yeah.
fucking walk away. Let it go for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Or however long
we
you
have this
to.
New thing. So let's say you got the blinders on and you have been going, like, we have people listening who are creatives, who started businesses, who are just being creative, and they're like, how do I make this a business? Like, how do I make this my job? You know, it's a privilege to even like earn a living through your art. Like, that's somebody on the Patreon pointed that out this week. I was like, holy shit, you're absolutely right. And thank you.
No, it absolutely is. That book, Big Magic,
yes,
talks about this a lot. Like, don't even try to, thinking that you could live off of your art is already such a
the way wild that Elizabeth concept. Gilbert says is like, you're in service of the muse that comes through and gives you the poem and gives you, right? So you're speaking to your higher self, basically. But it was beautiful because she, I mean, of course, she earns a living from her art now, but it wasn't always that way. Like, much through like her 20s, 30s, and I'm not even sure when Eat, Pray, Love blew up, but she talks about it in the book, Big Magic, how she had like several side jobs and things, and those jobs provided her with content to write about. It actually inspired her work. So thank you for pointing that out. And always, y'all, please share. We are no experts at any of these topics. We only started this podcast to share with you like the inner workings of our minds as we are on the same journey as you, as creatives. So motivation is a big one. And thank you, Jedi. So we end the podcast there. He's like, and mic drop. It's over. No, well,
This is the difference. Would you either, you know, it's like, would you prefer talent or hard work? You know, usually a lot of people would say talent. Yeah, cool. But in reality, when it comes down, you start to actually put the sausage together and figure out how things happen. Like, you're going to need 10 times more hard work than you have talent.
Yeah. Well, I the proof is in the pudding. We went to Berklee College of Music and met the most talented people on the planet.
In pudding class? Yeah.
Not all of them had the skills to put in the hard work to translate this into like a career, really. Mm-hmm. Like, that was wild to watch. Yeah. And so I thought, damn, this is cool because I have the willingness and the motivation. And then I met you and I was like, well, he's got all the fucking motivation, so we'll be okay.
And you got talent.
It still took us, you know, still took us a dozen years to get to where we are now.
Absolutely.
And the world around you is changing. Meanwhile, you've got the blinders on, but like, you're having to, today we were just learning how to use different lenses and how to like face map. I was like, the fuck is this? Didn't think I was going to, can't we just put the TikTok filter on? No, it's way different when you have this level of expertise and you know, we've learned enough up to this point. We're comfortable working with cameras and we shoot, edit, and direct all of our own music videos.
Yeah.
So,
but again, to that too, like, we have to be, there are so many times when we're like, Jesus, are we really trying to fucking learn all this new shit?
Yeah. Last week I was like, let's just pay somebody to do it. And then I got in touch with people to pay to do it. And then I thought, well, shit, after we pay them to do it, we're just going to have to, you know, do that again. Or we could add them to our team, which could be great too. And then I was like, but we kind of like know everything. So we just went down the rabbit hole today.
But this is a whole nother topic, but we should totally like working with people because we are not the best at that.
We need to learn more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to continue.
There is a balance. Yeah. But back to motivation. Motivation helps you solve problems and change old habits. So that's like kind of that same feeling you have when you're like, I need to stop eating these potato chips. They're not good for me. It takes a motivation to do so. I was reading a book about inflammation this week and how to eat, you know, what kind of foods to eat to like clear your body of inflammation. I was like, damn, this is going to take me some motivation to change my habits.
Yeah.
But it is extra difficult if you are depressed or anxious. And so your mental health is kind of everything for this, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing that I think I realize about myself, if your motivations are coming from, okay, so like we talked about, anything that's like a negative or like a, you know, like a lower vibration, like anger or fear, it's not going to, not that it still can't work for a little while, but I think eventually it's going to bite you in the ass. You're not going to make your best shit. You're going to be constantly stressed out, have nervous breakdowns, you know, forget how to shave, whatever it is. But if it comes from love or joy for the thing that you're trying to accomplish, if you can, in the morning, or find some meditation or something, this is what I've learned I had to do. You have to reset your fucking energy to come from those places.
Okay.
And then you'll find that you have excess energy. You got more energy and motivation and willpower that you have than anything. Let go of all of the external comparison, all of the horseshit. So you got the blinders on. So you're not worried about anything happening out here. And you're just thinking about the love and joy. Only remembering the love and joy.
So what do you do first thing in the morning?
We wake up.
You, not we. I know what I do in the morning.
I'm going to tell you what you do.
Amy.
I've been recording.
Amy takes all of her sweaters off from the night before.
It's five. What do I do? So I wake up, then we do the Wim Hof breathing thing. Mm-hmm. And so mostly for that, I'm really trying to actually not think at all. Just clearing my brain.
Enjoying the stillness that you have after waking up from sleep.
Totally.
And then putting that oxygenated blood through your body to clear out what was sitting during the night.
Right. And then really it happens to me on my walk, I guess. So we do that. Then we journal. And then we learn. So I listen to a book while I make breakfast, and then I take the pups for a walk.
Yep.
And usually when I'm out for a walk is when I can like actually integrate things and I allow, just kind of be like alone with myself.
Yeah.
And because the mind will take you on whatever fucking awfulness that you could possibly imagine.
If you let it.
If you let it.
Yeah.
But the opposite is also available.
Yeah.
So, that's it. It's just accessing that shit, I guess.
So the way that a lot of people recommend honing their motivation is a like 5-step process. So this is like kind of getting into habits too, which is one of our other favorite topics. But they say, okay, so let's say you need motivation to achieve a certain goal. So let's say our creative people that are listening are like, oh, I want to like launch my business by this date. So you want to set a goal that feels achievable, right? For that. I know if you're starting a business and you're already really good at making epoxy jewelry or something, right? And you're like, okay, well, I've already made all the jewelry. I've got like 10 bracelets ready to go. I know that you have to like figure out what you're calling your business, maybe make a cute little logo, buy a website domain, and then start hosting it on like Wix or somewhere like that, or Shopify, actually even better. So somewhere you can sell and like receive credit card payments and process like your shipping labels, right? So there's a certain set of things that you have to do to accomplish that goal. So set something small. So maybe that sounds overwhelming. So maybe you're like, by the end of the month, I'm going to have my name and logo. That's fun. So there's step one. Step two, you're going to figure out how to include it in your life and your schedule. So figuring out a name and a logo for a business for me is like super easy and fun because you're just like, okay, universe, ask the universe like to send you signs and start sketching ideas and come up with names in a little notebook, like get you a little moleskin that fits in your pocket and just put ideas down as you're going about your life. Step three is break it into small, easy tasks, right? So you know once you figure out, oh my God, my brand is going to be called Smorgasbord. Okay. So you're like, wow, I should maybe figure out I don't even know how to spell that. So that's a tip. First, you got to Google how to spell it. Then you're like, I'm going to start looking at fonts on like these free font websites, or maybe you got an Adobe account. Maybe you're in Photoshop already. I don't know. And then you're going to set little reminders for yourself. Like, hey, reach out to the guy on Fiverr.com who's drawing my logo and I need to make some edits to his second or third revision. Right. So then that's step three. Step four is to tell family and friends who can help you stay motivated. This is interesting. Even after you've done all the work for yourself, it's still helpful to anchor it to somebody or something. So let's say
hold you accountable or something.
Not everybody's lucky enough to have a supportive family, but let's say you have
a dog,
a friend or a person or even a mentor, somebody that you look up to that's already doing what you want to do. And just let them know that you're doing this so that they can kind of provide you with motivation or just good vibes. And then number five is to reward yourself. So once you did this, you were motivated enough to get through these 5 steps and you have your brand name and you have your logo, take yourself out to dinner, go to a movie, like buy that cute pair of shoes you wanted on Etsy or whatever. That's how you start creating habits and training yourself to be motivated. Mm-hmm. So then you're ready to, once you've done that, you take an exhale and you're like, cool, now that I have the logo and the name, that's going to be easy to throw that PNG graphic up on a Shopify site. It's, $30 a month. Here we go.
It's a very specific motivation.
It is. Yeah. It is. No, I'm just saying, because the feedback that we've gotten from this podcast are folks starting like cookie companies and like candle companies, but also that are doing art prints and taking commissions for their work, and music artists that are trying to get build a fan base.
Dude, and for us, like, and even now, all the time, these are basic fundamental things we have to even harp on more now than ever. Focus on what's working. Focus on what's good. Circle of influence versus circle of concern. Whatever you focus on will expand. It's a law of nature.
That's proven.
We're not going to fucking change that shit.
Right.
Make it a habit if you can. When you keep these blinders on, because you're not looking at anybody else doing anything else that's not really, if I traced my shit, that's when anything negative would come in.
Really?
Yes. Somebody more over here is, you know, somebody over here is doing more.
They already have their website and they did 100,000 orders this month.
Whatever thing is, right. You know, that's all, that's none of your fucking business.
That's irrelevant because you have your blinders on.
Yes. Only focus on what's working. And, only that will expand what you have and will actually start solving other problems that you were trying to fix.
Yeah.
Just by expanding these parts of what you're doing.
I could come from a self-care angle for this, okay. For motivation, right? So,
care me.
So let's say one of my favorite activities actually is to hold fake staff meetings with myself. Is this like weird? I like to regularly review my goals and my progress by literally, I'm again, very privileged to have my own little space, like a separate room or office to go to. And I just turn on my favorite music. It's almost like a ritual at this point where I light a candle and if I know I have a couple hours to myself, maybe I'll do a meditation or something, and I'll always lay out a big fat piece of blank paper in front of myself. And maybe I'm sitting on my meditation pillow and I've got a bunch of different colored markers or pencils. And I just start reviewing like, okay. And I even talk to myself out loud if I need to. I'm like, all right, bitch, listen, maybe I'll make a meditation for this for y'all to listen to. But it's like, all right, where are we winning right now? What is really bringing us joy? Like, what do you like literally get your tits tingling? And like, write that down. And then, you know, I'll put down like things that the universe told me recently that I really noticed, like a lot of pennies were showing up that one time. And I was like, that's interesting. Pennies, you know, maybe that will be a piece of the artwork for the next album. And then I'm like, oh, I've really become a big fan of this guy, Dan Coe, who's like a motivational business entrepreneur motivator guy. And so I was like, he said this week. And I was really, you know, this, I'm starting incorporating these things into my consciousness and into like, more formally, like you kind of formalize it. And then during the meeting, you're like, okay, well, here's what I nailed. Here's what I learned from some difficulty shit. And here's where I'm going next. Mm-hmm. And then you close the book and your fucking meeting's done. It's like, that's how you stay motivated. But from a self-care.
And you light it on fire. Is that a spell thing?
Full moon,
resident
new
witch.
Moon rituals are, we got to teach Jedi Nick our witchy ways, don't
Come
we? I need to teach you these rituals.
I already have a wizard.
You always accept if I come to you with like crystals or oils and stuff, you're just like, yep, do it to me. You know, this is such a husband thing to say. You're like, yes, wand sir. Me.
Whatever.
Oh my God, cleanse me.
I do have a wizard knife. Sword. That's what it's called. Large knife.
We could call it a wizard knife if you want. It's pretty cool.
A WK.
Yep. But that's my ritual if we have any witchy bitches or people that want to try meeting. Like it's just you, yourself and I having this meeting about, all right, bitch, what are we doing? What's up? Because it feels like you're caring for yourself. And what that's going to do is going to raise in you that confidence. So what I noticed in my motivation research is that self-worth is so major. It's like resilience, right? Optimism, which is a lot what Jedi was talking about.
Totally.
And self-worth. If you don't have those three things, it's pretty difficult to stay motivated and to get through shit.
Yeah.
This really depends how big your goals are. So that's kind of every therapist's advice was like, listen, if it's feeling like you don't have enough willpower to get through this or enough self-worth, try to break down your goal into smaller pieces.
Okay. So this is a big thing when we were running like cross country or whatever. Okay.
Oh,
when you start
sports analogy, hold on.
ding. When you start the ascent. I'm watching this doc on the Tour de France right now, too, which I think is super interesting because for whatever reason, it's like, dude, that's the most fucking grueling sporting event I think Earth has to offer. the Tour de France.
Why is that?
It's a 21 day bike race. Okay.
20 days?
Days.
Oh.
In a row.
Okay. 20 minutes. I was like, oh, that's intense.
Each day is 5 to 6 hour race each day. So it's between like 150 and like 170 kilometers. And it's literally like over mountains and shit. So you'll have inclines that are like 8% grade and you're on a fucking bike. So then you've already gone for like 100 kilometers.
So I had this idea that they just kept on, they were on the bikes for the whole thing. So 20, that would not be possible. So they take a break every 6 hours, they sleep.
Well, at night, yeah, they fucking sleep.
Okay? Then they start, when the where race do they start done, again? Do the next day the next they start day, over?
When
all,
they say, when they fucking blow the whistle.
They all start again at the same place?
Yes.
So you and can so win different time. Days?
Yes. Winning a stage of the Tour de France is like the biggest winning highlight of someone's career. It's a huge deal.
So there's 20 so winners anyway. For 20 days?
Yeah, and then an overall winner. And okay. then a team.
Because they time
team
the
winners. Okay. Yeah, they time them, right? So anyway... Before you interrupted me.
Sorry.
When you start going up the hill, if you are focused at the top of the hill when you start at the bottom, all you're going to really see is just, or like hiking, like you start at the very bottom, you look up at this fucking huge mountain and you're like, holy fuck, that shit is so much higher than where I'm at right now. That seems insurmountable. I don't even know. I don't like, nah, we're done. But if you just, when you're doing the hill thing, it's the same thing. If you just focus on where the couple of feet in front of you, focus on the next couple of steps. That's all you got to do. Just focus on that. Don't trip. Don't freak out about where you're going.
Right.
Just, if you just look in front of you and just focus on the slight incline. And as you were running, you would be less, you know, you would be less in your own head about it. You would just be worrying about the next couple of steps. And so as a result, it wouldn't be as intimidating and you wouldn't get as tired. And it would be more just, you would get in the groove of just focusing on your form, focusing on how you feel, whatever, and you actually could go much faster. So it's the same concept here. Just focus on the first couple of steps in front of you. If you're trying to get to this huge goal, just break the problem down into smaller problems.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. Don't freak out. Don't be anxious over where you're trying to get to. Just solve the problems. Take the steps that you can see in front of you. And that was a huge thing for music, for all these things that seem so insurmountable, that seem fucking like, how the fuck do I get to that place?
Yeah.
You know? And it's by starting. It's by just, you know, just take the steps that know you can take. And when you get there, then you can look around and be like, and before you know it, all of a sudden you're going to be like, holy fuck, I'm fucking way up here. You know what I mean?
A great episode to backtrack if any of y'all are listening now and you're like, wait, I would love more information on that, is How to Start. It's one of our earlier House of Herbie episodes. And I remember hitting all of these things for like starting a business or if you're a creative person. Super helpful. And I thought of another analogy while you were using sports.
Oh my God, I'd love to hear it.
For creatives, because y'all probably know this. Anybody that makes like visual arts, right? Somebody was painting the side of a building downtown the other day. We drove by and I was like, holy shit. They literally go square by square to make, they hand paint advertisements for like Garnier on the sides of buildings. I thought it was like a big piece of plastic poster that they glued up. Even if they do that, even if it's pieces of poster, it was a guy painting, holy shit. But he had like a map in his hand and he was like, this is her chin. It was so wild to me. And I was like, even if they did print giant like 3x3 squares, it's the whole image doesn't come together unless you bust it out into like 150 pieces. So I think that's really helpful. I'm sure there'll be an app for this at some point. Like, I'd like to climb Mount Fuji or whatever, and they'll break it down for you. And like how to actually, I'm sure AI could probably tell us this now AI, too. I want to start a business. Mount what Fiji are the best small steps I can take that are achievable and I can stay motivated through? Because that's probably the biggest discouragement that creative people encounter.
Dude, well, we always talk about that. She's making jewelry, the Portlandia skit.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so at the end of the song, right, she's making, they have all these verses, jewelry now, all this shit, right? And at the very end, he's actually running his business and he's trying to fulfill orders. And he's like, and he's doing like customer service and stuff. And then he's realizing how much fucking work it is.
Yeah.
And at the end of the clip, he's like, oh, it's all right. I'll just go to grad school.
See? Okay. I mean, that is not, that's a great example.
That is like easier. It's somehow.
Somehow. Now, to that extent, right? We could like analyze that clip, right? Not, we know it's funny and his friend Arbison and it's an amazing show, Portlandia. But going to grad school, obviously, it could be great. That could be a great next path, but it's like very expensive and you're not getting to your goal any faster, right?
Well, the point is that like it would be, it's easier for him to just, right. Exactly. It's a different, do something where you like, you pay a ton of money and spend like 4 years as
and
long
probably
as
go
someone,
work for somebody else.
Because someone is laying out a plan for
yes,
you.
Yes, which is
you know, you have a
beautiful.
Little bit of a, no, it's very, look, that's incredibly necessary. It's incredibly important and it just helps you put you on your own path. You know what I mean?
But then we watched this Mer People show on Netflix yesterday and I was like, holy shit, there's this dude that was like, I want to be a mermaid, and he did everything in his power to be a mermaid and he just kept going and kept going and now he's buying like $100,000 mermaid tanks
and now he has gills
putting in his, you know, it became his art form. And this is like, oh, it made me so excited because this is the type of folks that are in our community, are people that are like, no, I want to be a mermaid. Like, that's so dope to me. It's so, it's like you can't even, they don't even have grad school programs for mermaids.
Still.
These people are pioneering a whole new path. And not saying grad school people could definitely do this too.
No. In no way, we're not shitting on anybody. It's just funny how humans work sometimes
it
when
is.
They get very overwhelmed with when you're your own boss.
It all comes down to the motive. He had the motivation to make so many mer tales that he sold so many of his beautiful mermaid tales to clients that he was like, I now have like $200,000 to do this, to make my fantasy come alive. And then he's now making other people's dreams come true by like giving them a tank to swim in. Like, apparently that's a huge thing with mer people, is there's nowhere to swim. There was like this place, you know, that you could swim.
Mermaid in Nebraska still, I think, is a great song that we're going to write.
Stunning. It's just really cool. So we're really interested in how motivation works and how to get you closer to your dream, because that's all we do day in and day out over here is like, how do we are independent music artists. Like, what the fuck
is
that?
It's such a fuck show, guys.
We're like, let's figure it out. I don't know.
But it's, you know, and there are times we have to quit and let it go.
That's one of my favorite hacks, guys. So this is really helpful. Let's say you just put in all this work and you're like ready to sign up for grad school, right? Or whatever it is. You know what?
You're frustrated with where you're at.
You're frustrated where you're at and you're not sure. You feel deep down that this is the right path, but you just don't know if you have the motivation for it. Give up. We always say just quit for the day. We're like, oh, I quit. And you can say it with as much sass and anger that you need to and literally just let it go. Go to sleep. Abraham Hicks always says, like, if you go to sleep, it stops the momentum. The negative momentum. You wake up the next day and you're like, well, fuck, I'd be doing this anyway. That's really interesting. So this is not a habits episode, but it does.
Let's fucking talk about habits next week. I always want to talk about habits, but you never let me.
It's annoying to me. I think
so
habits
annoying.
Suck
it's
the most.
Fucking reason.
I'm stubborn
happens.
As fuck, but I'm also like very dedicated. So it takes 2 months to develop a habit. It's still 60 days.
Yeah.
This is science, y'all. Like, they studied a bunch of people that form new habits and it's still 60 days. So whatever it is, you better be sure this is what you want to do, because your new habit's going to take 60 days.
Again, that's okay too. I think like we've done this a few times where we started something and like succeeded at something and then we're like, oh shit, I don't know if this is what
this
we
ain't
fuck
it.
With. But you know, and that's how you learn and that's the journey of life and that's just part of the...
And that's where we love the word pivot. We have,
you got to be okay with that. You got to be able to live with those. You know what I mean? I think that's okay.
Yep.
But like there are also, I love reading books about people that have just done... that were in that moment of they were like, I'm going to quit. And they found a way to persevere. You know, they found a way to continue to move forward. And usually it is from letting it go for that day, falling asleep, waking up and say, would I still be doing this anyway? Mm. Huge question to ask yourself. You know, if the answer is yes, then you've already won. You're free. You're free. Now you can just take your time and fucking do it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You'd be doing this anyway.
Yeah. That is a good hack.
A huge hack. But there are so many, you know, love him or hate him, but the Steve Jobs book, the autobiography, is so fascinating to me because he was one of the most like motivated people we've had in a long fucking time. Mm. And he was able to do a lot of things strictly. He didn't know, you know, how to code or how to make iPhones or any of this shit, but his motivation was just incredible. Mm. You know, was it Madam C.J. Walker?
Yes.
You know, like these people that have been able to do, there are so many human stories of absolutely incredible motivation. And you can read their books and you read their stories. That's what I would suggest too. I love learning their stories because it makes you realize, you're like, holy shit, I didn't realize this was all the shit they had to go through. Yes. Or whatever the scenario was, because there's so much. It gives you a better perspective to have less fear, I guess, and more courage.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do say one of the tips that all the research gave me was find a mentor. And this used to piss me off when people were like, find a mentor. I was like, yeah, definitely. I'm going to just call, you know, friggin' Oprah and be like, how did you do it, queen? Like, no, it's not just getting in front of a person IRL. It's like, pick up a book about their life, read their blog. You know, what you need to do is find the people that are doing what you want, or at least adjacent to what you want. If you're a mer person and you're like, I'm a mermaid, like that, there might be less resources, right? But you know, you like are a performer, and you pick out your favorite people. Anyone can be a mentor if you think of it that way. All these people that are highly achieving people have books and blogs and social media accounts, and you can follow like their stories and get more intimate with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because that's like super duper helpful. If you haven't done a deep dive, as deepest as you can dive on the topic, then you're not there yet. There's so much information now that's free. The other thing that they recommended on all these sites was to surround yourself with positive people. Duh.
And you can do that on social media too.
You can. Oh,
you can. So follow the people who give you the spark and don't like bring it down.
That don't give you that comparison yucky feeling, yeah. Right? That's huge. Yeah. You can sort of use that, your Instagram feed, to sort of program your attitude. Like Jedi was saying, in the morning, setting yourself up to be positive through the day. And then, of course, everybody recommends exercise, which I have to be angry about that statement, too. I hate exercise, but it's so important.
It clears my fucking... So, like, sleep, it's a reset. It gives me a new perspective on my shit.
Yes.
Every time.
Yep. If you can't fly to Tahiti, go to the gym.
If you can fly to Tahiti, fly to Tahiti.
Do it. But it resets your mental state. Your mental health is so, so much benefited by physical movement. And it also, like Kelsey Wells taught us the other week, is that it proves to you that you can do this.
Right.
So in terms of motivation, there's like hardly anything better than exercise.
And again, if we are all under hypnosis, if everybody says that we are actually like source / God / Gus energy, the only fear is your human evolutionary survival instinct thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to constantly keep you alive.
Yeah.
So that's just the only thing that's ever any negative thoughts. It's not actually who you are at all. So Correct. It's not even real.
Correct. Actually, that has a lot of compassion in it, saying like, yeah, if I have fear in my body, it's just because my body is trying to keep me alive so I can keep experiencing, but I'm just stuck in this loop of sadness and fear.
Right. Well, yeah, but with too much fear, you're not going to live, you know? So what's the point? Why are we here?
And what are we actually afraid of when we're talking about motivation, right? So we're afraid of setbacks. We're afraid of contrast. We're afraid of difficulties. But that is normal, y'all. There's not a single fucking person who doesn't have that.
Not a single fucking story of anybody that you look up to that hasn't had to fucking deal with that shit. Am I right?
You're right. Okay. All right.
Thanks.
So I would say these last three categories, this is kind of what my research, what I boiled it down to, and it sounds like we're on the same page. Jedi, Nick, and I do not put our notes together before these episodes, and I love how this one is just so synchronistically.
We do not sleep in the same bed.
We don't talk.
We don't
walk. Only on this podcast. So thank you for supporting us.
Why is that a recurring
joke?
If
you want to join our Patreon.
And see us together. If you want to save our marriage. Join.
Donate today. Oh, goddess.
If you want to be our therapist,
sign up here. Okay.
Fill out the form below you.
Below you.
Reach underneath your seat. It's like down there. We're like, how did you know?
How did this happen?
Tom Cruise.
Because I called Oprah. She told me, Impossible. You get a car. You get a car.
You have an application to be a therapist under your seat.
I love Oprah so much.
Oh my God.
Manifesting, hanging out with Oprah.
We just get it. Yeah. Let's just get her on the, she can just be in the video. She doesn't have to be on the song. You know, but maybe she could say some crazy shit.
I'm
you
saying,
get a car. We'll
you
just
get
sample
a car. You
something.
Get a car. Yeah.
Chop it up.
Have her sign off on that.
Yeah.
So can we go over then resilience, optimism, and self-worth? Because I feel like those are it. Resilience. This is one of my favorite words. Why? Resilience. So nice. It's because you're like, I'm resilient, bitch. It's like you can survive.
Is that a reason?
You survive things. You survive things and you come out glowing on the other side. I love that. So resilience is really having thick skin, right? That's the definition. You recover from difficulty. Okay. That's resilience, is being able to have toughness and being able to pivot. And it even means elasticity, which I was like, oh, damn. It's like adaptability.
She's flexible.
Flexible. She pivots. So for us to have resilience, we need to first review our goal and make sure it's realistic. Because I think a lot of people are like, Queen, I set this goal and I just can't do it. Like, it's way too hard. That's the first thing we can do, is break it down into smaller steps. And it also, babe, it also might be that the universe is guiding you in a different direction. So what I notice when I'm trying to be resilient and motivated to do things, I'm like, maybe I'm not supposed to become a DJ. You know, maybe there's another machine or another way in which I can use my creativity. And I just need to do a little bit more research and look at a little bit more, find a new mentor, or like somebody who can, you know, show me a new way. Like, I love this guy, Mark Ribelle. I don't know if I say his name right, but he's...
Yeah, I always say Ribelle, but then I know that's not right.
He does, it's French probably, right? But he does, like, he's got like a loop pedal and a laptop and a keyboard. And I'm like, wow, that's really amazing. And just learning, he has a video explaining like how he hooks it up. And so he inspired me, amongst other people like Kimbra, to get an MPC. Cause I was like, well, for me, just the drum pads is all I need. I just want to make beats and sing. So you may need to pivot if it's feeling like you don't have the resilience to get to your goal. If you've hit a wall, like I said before, picking up books and getting inspired by other people's journeys is super helpful. And then this is my favorite. Take a fucking break, right? Whether you quit at the end of the day or you're like, I need to take like 3 days and go to Malibu and do acid, do it.
Hi, Nick Noonan.
You know what I mean?
That's what we found. Whenever we were not like in our best headspace or not really excited
not in our
about
bag.
Life,
yeah.
That's always when we were burnt or tired, whatever. So
and
we'd
it's
like, walk
what it
away.
Is from the woo-woo standpoint, because I know my witches are listening, like, it's the universe, it's source, it's goddess energy being like, babe, hey, I have something to tell you and you can't hear me right now because you're so busy trying to become a DJ. Like, I need you to take a step away and I need you to do, you know, smell some lavender and cry for a couple days. And that's super important. Limiting beliefs. Hello. That's like one of our favorite phrases right now. And a lot of therapist sessions have helped me to uncover some of those. Like, I really didn't even know they were there. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend that. And once again, mental health struggles are real and you deserve to have a fabulous life. So resilience is one of the big, to me, these three ingredients create motivation.
Focus on the love and joy.
So optimism, let's go over that one.
Let's go over it. If you are, okay, so if you are having these terrible, awful, negative thoughts, you are also capable of their opposite.
Yes.
So what are their opposite?
Because duality, it's science. You can't experience one without the other one being available to you.
When I realized that this was the energy, like, I don't know, there was something in me that's like, there's always been, this is the reason anything happens at all. You know, anything positive or anything gets done, is there's any kind of motivation or any kind of optimism, because you do have to, a lot of life can be a lot of obstacles or contrast or a lot of different things. And you can choose to experience it in a stress, like in like, this is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. Mm. And that just creates a whole spiral of other ways of why it should be. And you're not there. Mm. So again, that's a comparison. That's going to F you in the A.
Right.
Pretty hard.
Every time.
Do you know what I mean? Every time. So the optimism is finding like all the possible ways. And this has been huge for me for music, because you start getting into a habit of thinking about all the wonderful things that can happen. And I'm still figuring out the balance of like how you don't the toxic positivity of like how you don't always are constantly let down afterwards when they don't happen. But it's more of like you're able to then just shrug those off and kind of like let those go. But what eventually what happens is you're just constantly thinking about all of the good possibilities that could happen all the time. And I think I'm testing it out now, but I think you do actually can start to manifest those.
Right.
The more that you're able to like emotionally experience them. So it's an interesting, you know, I don't know if where that comes, you're like, just do it more. I don't know where that key connecting thing is, right. But yeah, the optimism is if you can just train yourself to see, because there is so much for all the fucked up shit that's going on. And it's easy to focus on. And it's what our fucking like pain bodies love. And we're like, oh yeah, yeah, this is so sick. Look at that train wreck. Yeah, I can't look away. Awful. Let me send it to my friend. There's also just as many wonderful, if not more, wonderful, wonderful things happening every fucking day.
Yeah.
And there really are.
I'm super guilty of this. Like, it is really helpful to notice when you're like the person who's like, yeah, well, fuck, this is stupid. You know, like you get like, oh, you almost get off like being
you do.
Negative.
No, it's a fucked up. You absolutely get it. You get off on it.
It's not just you, babe. It's like, and it's not just me. It's like everybody.
It's just anybody who's had a human body.
Yes. And so training ourselves to have that hopefulness and that confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something is key. It's like we have to actively go against the societal norm here of being negative and being comparison-y. And
it's a thing that we say all the time that you told me too. And you have to let the universe give space for the universe to co-create with you.
Yeah.
So it's not always going to be 100% exactly what you thought it was going to be.
So something's going to show up and it's not how you envisioned it. You have to be like, yes, and.
Yeah. Be able to bounce with it. And then if you're not super, you know, stiff with exactly what it is, then you're going to have more space for the optimism because you're going to be able to see more things as positive.
Yeah. And that's like the first rule of improv. They say improvisation, like it's yes and. You can never jump on stage with an actor and improvise a scene without them being like, I'm getting in the cab now. You can't be like, there's no cab. That's a no, right? You have to be like, oh my God, I've never seen a purple cab.
It smells in here.
Right. You have to just say yes and. So I think that's...
Have you...
I feel like people that are good at improv are super positive. Like Wayne Brady was such an optimist when we met.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a... like.
Also, Whose Line's It Anyway? Still, probably one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's pretty great.
Did you watch that show growing up?
That's a super optimist show. It makes everyone who watches it happy.
Those guys are incredible.
I think it's the vibration of yes and.
Okay, well,
teach me. That's what the universe wants from us as creatives is for it. It sends us lemons and we make lemonade, right? That's the idea. So
sends us lemons and we squeeze it into our eyes.
Right. Well, sure, maybe. So another key for optimism is our episode on letting go 101. That was one that was really helpful for this because you got to let go of things not going your way.
You do.
A lot of letting go in staying motivated.
Yeah, letting go of the negative.
Yeah.
Payoffs, like you're saying, letting go of all of the what is it called? It's like, what'd you say?
Excuse me? Your what hurts?
Your what hurts?
I also love how Russ, the music artist Russ, he has a book that I have. It's like, it's all in your head, I think is the title. And he talks about being delusional. You have to be like, almost like on our happiness episode, we were like, you have to act like you're kind of dumb. Like you're like grateful and forgiving and interested in others. And you ignore the naysayers and you smile, bitch. It's like, oh wow. You just like act delusional to stay positive. We could do a whole episode on optimism. That's just like a reframe. Cause I think it's, you kind of want to slap people in the mouth when they talk about optimism. Cause it's like, dude, when you're not in optimism, it's pretty difficult to be sold to.
Right.
That lifestyle, but we could give it like an edge and make it real. So it's a skill that, you know, being an optimist is a skill and you're able to train yourself to think this way. You're not stuck being a pessimist. If you're listening to this and you're like, wow, I'm really negative. So am I, bitch. But you can work on it. You can train yourself just like at the gym. A stupid exercise that I hate, but does help when you feel like you're in a rut of negativity is to write down 5 positive things that happens to you. At the end of the day, like have a little journal by your bed and just write 5 things that are like really positive. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you start the momentum in the other direction. Okay, self-worth. The last ingredient. Here we go. Last ingredient is, well, they said that it was commitment. And I was like, what the fuck is that? commitment. And then eventually I landed on self-worth and integrity. It's like kind of the same shit. So feeling that you're a good person who's deserving of love, right? And that's when you commit to something. Cause I think about like marriage sometimes, or like anything you're committed to for a long time. It's you're like, no, this person is deserving of love and they respect me as well. And this is a great situation for me, you know? So feeling that and self-worth, which is more of a singular thing, if you're alone, if you're not partnered up, is just feeling that you're a person who's worthy of love. That's really all it is. I belong. My uniqueness is important. So yeah, this one is, we could do an episode on this too, a separate episode, but it's for me was doing the work. It was like, learning and studying as much as I could about this topic, like how to have, like, let's say you're interested in painting. It's like, if you don't do the research, if you don't like learn as much as Bob Ross knows and learn as much as your favorite artist knows, then what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Right. Cause you're going to build self-worth by being like, no, I fucking know everything.
Yeah.
That gives you so much respect for yourself. And then you're like, oh, I am worthy. Y'all should respect
me. I do know. Yeah, exactly. I do know my shit. Spending time with your craft. Absolutely. That's I felt that way about going to Berkeley.
Yeah, you were like, I knew I needed to go so that I knew what I was talking about.
What the fuck I was doing. Yeah.
It's not necessarily true, but I'm saying if you have low self-worth, just study the shit as much as you can.
Yeah.
Appearance. Dress the part. This is interesting. Last week I was like, I'm going to wear a suit jacket today. And people like stopped me and were like, you look great. And I felt different. I acted different.
Did you have any pants on?
No.
That's why.
No, I did. I was just wearing my regular sweats, actually. I just put on a suit jacket over my freaking crop top. That was it.
Let's speak. Are we entering our suit jacket phase?
I think it's time for us to start dressing
our suit
different.
Jacket era?
Because this gives you more self-worth, which then allows you to attract that energy because you're like, I'm worthy of respect. It's funny, y'all, how much just dressing for success is like a real fucking hack.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. I'm lazy and I love wearing sweats, but this works, y'all. Competition. Oh, competition is also healthy, even though comparison is negative. Having somebody like following somebody that does make you a little bit jealous and like forces you to step your pussy up is like not a bad thing. Don't overdose.
You said rival.
Yeah, rival. Thank
rival
you.
Versus
competitor.
Competitor. Because then it's like showing you from the angle of like, oh, cool, this is possible.
Yes.
Or this is something in your realm that someone who's is pushing you to be on your game.
Yep.
You know?
My favorite.
What you want.
My favorite creative person in the world right now is Doja Cat. Mm-hmm. And she put out a new song today. And I was like blown away by the song. Yeah. Like I'll probably listen to it like 20 times.
Yeah.
Later. Like it's just so good. And I was like, damn, I want to make this kind of music. You know, I hope it would be amazing to do a song with her someday. But I was like, damn, this is really good because it makes me rethink what I can record next. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is really important to have some rivals or competitors in your circle. Family support, you may or may not have that. I mean, that's good. The Mermaid Show, like a lot of those mermaids had support from their parents. I was like blown away by this.
Yeah, me too. Damn.
That is such a blessing. If you're going to be a mermaid, like choose a family that supports, right? And then the last thing on the self-worth thing to increase your self-worth. Again, we're doing more work. We're studying our shit. We're dressing the part. We are getting approval. Okay, get into the community that does what you do, right? If you're a mermaid, like link up with all these people because you need to interact with them to feel seen and feel like you belong. That's huge. Competition, somebody to help you keep stepping your pussy up. Watch somebody be on their radar or whatever. Family support if you can get it. And then woo, if you can find something to believe in. I don't care what it is. If you're like, I believe in a snake god from Egypt, you know, that's awesome. You know, having those rituals and meditations and journaling sessions and that relationship with yourself and like a higher power is clutch for self-worth. I do believe that. Mm. It's like an anchor.
Yeah. Someone to bounce off of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, something to bounce off of and to feel like,
someone
you know,
to play basketball with.
When it's, because we know that the physical body eventually expires, right? Money doesn't buy happiness. These potato chips eventually go stale. Like you need something to believe in.
Never.
You need something.
Not the cheddar.
They've done. Scientists have proven this too. You have to believe in a higher power.
Scientists have proven that the cheddar chips go stale.
They know.
What flavor is that? Is that sour cream and cheddar?
Sure is.
Is that what's
that's a, the only no, flavor that matters?
It's cheddar.
Sour cream cheddar. Yeah.
Cheddar sour cream.
It's the only one that matters.
Did you guys have red hot dogs growing up?
Yes, in Fairbury, Nebraska.
Red rods?
Red rods.
Can I tell you a
story? We did not call them red rods.
We didn't either.
No, that's kind of a weird phallic name.
So Uncle Bob, I'm going to be telling a lot of Uncle Bob stories. Maybe we should get him on this fucking podcast because he is the character of all characters. He is my uncle named Bob.
He is full of wisdom.
And he has a crazy past and has, you know, did all these crazy odd jobs. And he was like, you know, a hunter, trapper, where he's a woodsman. And he has a story. He worked on this farm with all these like huge pigs. Okay. And the pigs, you know, whenever they're done, the humans are done their food, they would put all together and feed it to the pigs. The pigs would just go crazy. A live chicken one time accidentally got into the pig pen and they ate it instantly. Okay. Just completely just gone. One night they had red rods, red hot dogs and all, you know, for dinner and all this shit. So they're finished, whatever. So the pigs ate everything except for the red hot dogs.
That's a bad sign.
Well, it's cannibalism.
They would rather eat a live chicken.
Well, they don't want to eat other pigs, right?
I guess so. But whatever is in the red rods, just
stay away.
The pigs did not eat it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, word to the wise.
Word to the wise. And that's your motivation.
Yes. I hope that you've received some. I hope you.
Words with Alex.
The chaotic self-help podcast of your dreams has just concluded. What is this episode now? 30.
This will be
37.
37.
Oh, my God, you bitch.
All bad bitches go to heaven.
37.
Thank you for. Thank you for tuning into another episode. I hope this is helpful. We want to remind you that what you're doing is extremely important. We need your art more than ever. And this podcast, if you want to jump through some of those older episodes to remind yourself of these things, if you notice anything on this episode that was like, oh, I need to work on this, queen, like, please go for it. If you have friends who would enjoy this vibe and this advice, please share it.
Why not you? I know it's the fucking most cliche thing ever. Why not? Why not? You are capable of fucking the shit up.
Yeah.
You got it.
We believe in
you. That's it. That's it. That's all. That is the truth. Rate and review. Send us some high fives.
We'll be motivating you until the cows come home or until the pigs don't eat
a letter, red rots. Send us a letter via Hogwarts Owl.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you need to do.
Yep. And have a beautiful rest of your week. We will see you next time.